other just recent. So glad you're here. Hallelujah. New folks coming into our church also. We're so glad they're here. And glad Jesus is here tonight. Glad that he is here tonight. This is an hour of harvest. This is a time of great reaping. And it's a time to take advantage because of where we are in prophecy and where we are in God's big scope of things. It ought to be a very important time for us to go to great extremes to bring in the harvest and help people and keep ourselves in a position that we're strong enough to help somebody else. Hallelujah. We're not doing too much if we just spend all of our time trying to survive ourselves. I believe God wants to give us abundant life. I'm not saying that there's not going to be times that you feel like you're out of gas. But, you know, that should not be basically the picture of our living for God. Hallelujah. I don't want to just save myself from this untoward generation, but I want to see others saved. And we ought to all be striving for better ways to help those that are turned out of the way, those that have become lame because of whatever. Hallelujah. Not be so wrapped up in ourself that we don't have extra to reach out to someone and pick them up. And I tell you what, it's just a wonderful feeling to know that any of us have an opportunity to help someone get their life in order. Hallelujah. So I pray that the Lord would help us tonight, bless us tonight, and let us realize the importance of where we are in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I'm going to try this pair of readers right here and see what happens, if I can still see anything. Hallelujah. Looky there. There's a Bible right here in front of me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All of y'all look very funny, though, when I look up. I don't know what the deal is. Hallelujah. I think you're supposed to wear them kind of like that. Some people look intelligent like that. Other people, like me, looks worse than even the normal. And so Luke chapter 14 and verse 16. Luke chapter 14 and verse 16. Hallelujah. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were hidden, bidden, come, for all things are now ready. These, I don't know which is the worst, but just work with me. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have mercy, or have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So the servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servants, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of these men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Hallelujah. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your word. We ask you to anoint it to our heart and speak to us, God. Help me tonight, God, to deliver this. In Jesus' name, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we believe you and we pray. God bless you, and you can be seated. Anytime the Lord Jesus Christ told a story or a parable, it had great implications of great wisdom in what he said. And these stories were not just for the physical moment, but it was for eternity. And it was for not only the natural things of life, but of spiritual things. The invitation that was presented in this reading was a great invitation. It was an unbelievable invitation. It was an invitation that had cost the man that invited all these folks a lot of time and no doubt a lot of money. And so he sent this invitation out. It was sent out to a select group of people. It was sent out to the children of Israel, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so the sons of Abraham, they had an inside track in what Jesus Christ was offering in the getting in of that supper. Hallelujah. These that were invited, the initial invitation was for those that had special connections and a right pedigree. Their bloodline was right. And their names were in the computer. They were just kind of in the best place that they could possibly be in. But the things that were in the master's house at this time had become uninteresting to those that were invited. I don't know what all caused them to be so unimpressed, to fail to honor this great invitation. It may be the way it is with so many things in our lives. When the more that we have, the more we get common to having things, and pretty soon we wake up not appreciating much of anything in our life. But I want you to notice that what we're talking about tonight and what is the interpretation of this story is something that is very important and something that is very spiritual. And it is an offer of a lifetime to be invited into this great supper. But it seems like those that had the most input and influence and had, knew the most about these suppers and what was going on, they were the slowest to respond. It's amazing that they begin to make excuses. You know, an excuse is a pitiful substitute for a reason. There's a lot of difference between a reason and an excuse. And an excuse is what you give somebody when you don't really have a reason. I want to tell you, when you start dealing with excuses, some of the easiest time for you to catch yourself telling a lie and not being honest. Somebody said that an excuse is the skin of a reason stretched over a lie. Hallelujah. They tell you one thing, but really, that's not the reason. Hallelujah. There's something else that's going on when that great invitation was given. Hallelujah. And so let me give you a little example of what an excuse is without a reason. Hallelujah. You know, you owe somebody some money and you don't pay them. You don't have the money to pay them, and so you tell them that your insurance is due. You can't pay your light bill, and so you make an excuse that, I can't believe it, I got a light bill this week. Hallelujah. All bills become a sudden surprise, and they become what they say is an excuse. Somebody dead broke except for just a little bit of money will take off and go on a vacation. Hallelujah. When there's a pending bill that somebody has stepped out to allow you to just have a little breathing time, and yet When the opportunity comes to settle the bill, you don't settle the bill. And you use it as an excuse. Hallelujah. You tell somebody you're going to be somewhere at a certain time and you're late. Oh, Lord, have mercy. And you don't tell the truth about it. You left late because you thought your time was a lot more important than the person that was waiting on you. Hallelujah. Man, I'm getting nasty tonight, ain't I? Hallelujah. I knew you'd wait on me because I'm always late. Hallelujah. Then they offer an excuse. The traffic was bad. The traffic's always bad in Atlanta. Hallelujah. No surprise. Hallelujah. You're offering just an excuse and not a reason. Hallelujah. Everybody happy tonight? Boy, when you're with family, you can just say it like it is, can't you? Hallelujah. So many times people don't tell the truth. Well, I couldn't be there because I had to stop and get gas. Well, I don't know of any motor that don't run without gas. Hallelujah. Anyway, in the text, these folks had been invited to a great supper. And they began to offer excuses. They didn't have any reasons. They were offering excuses. And it's just hard to believe you find the same thing in the Bible that you find in life so many times. So this beautiful invitation was sent out, this great opportunity to sit at the master's table was available to them. Not only that, it was cooked, it was ready, it was time. They should have already been there waiting to be have the privilege to come in. But yet instead of that, each one of them began to make excuses. One man said, I bought a plot of land. I bought a piece of ground and I've got to go see it. That was in verse 18 of Luke chapter 14. Hallelujah. I got to go see this piece of ground. Well, you do remember it's supper time, don't you? Hallelujah. And if some of you have become so highfalutin you don't know what the difference between supper and dinner is. Hallelujah. Right here in Georgia, we know what supper time is. Hallelujah. That's not a TV dinner. Hallelujah. That's not just a little bit of this or that or the other. It's, hey, it's time to chow down. It is supper time. Hallelujah. Somebody's rang the bell. Drop whatever you're doing and come in. It's already on the table. It's ready to go. We spent a lot of time preparing this. Don't come dragging in. Hallelujah. I didn't know that that people look at the grounds that they purchased, he says. Hallelujah. He's bought a piece of ground and wants to go see it. Hallelujah. So it's supper time, and how is he going to see it in the dark? Hallelujah. Not only that, he's already bought it, so why worry about going and seeing it until you've got a convenient time to go? You're not going to change anything. You've already paid the price. You've already signed the contract. The deal is settled. How stupid are we supposed to be that we don't take it as an insult, that it's just an excuse? It's not an invitation. It's an excuse that you're offering concerning this invitation. Another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen and I've got to go prove them. Well, boy, that's a good time to be proving oxen, is in the middle of the night. Hallelujah. You know, poor excuses. Hallelujah. You know, you can find all kinds of excuses for not coming to church, you know. Little Johnny can get his nose running, you know, and half the family has to stay home and help him blow it. How about that? Hallelujah. Man, it's too important, this invitation, to be making excuses. It's too serious. It's too sobering. It's too demanding. We're talking about being ready to go to heaven to the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's what's in the big backdrop of all this story. And so I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I must prove them. Hallelujah. Why prove them? It's your donkeys or your oxen or whatever it is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Too late. And then this third one is a real winner. Hallelujah. All you wimpy men ought to say amen to this. I've married a wife and can't come. He had already conceded the battle, hadn't he? It wasn't no sense in even arguing about it or explaining it. He just said, buddy, you know I married her, and I ain't playing basketball no more in the gym. I'm sorry. I can't even work at the church. Hallelujah. She's got it all lined out for me. Hallelujah. She's my wife. Hallelujah. Oh, I act like the boss a lot of times is when she's off a distance and talk big, but hallelujah. Judgment time comes when she shows up. And so I've married a wife. I can't come to any more suppers. It don't matter if it's a great supper. Oh, I am hungry for some of that. But I married a wife, and I cannot come. That's probably the worst excuse. Hallelujah. He wasn't talking about getting a divorce, divorcing her and leaving her. Hallelujah. Just for a few hours. Hallelujah. There's so many folks that they don't have a real reason. Hallelujah. Eternity's waiting on us. God's given us opportunities to get things right. He's given us great moments to straighten things out and evaluate things and get in a balance of what life is all about. You know, the other side of it, life is not just staying in a prayer room somewhere all your life. Hallelujah. Sometimes you need to get up and do something. Hallelujah. You know, it don't mean that you don't need to work on your physical job anymore. You know, I'm going to stand on a corner with a big old sign that says Jesus is coming. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, that's not the best approach. That's right. And God created us and put us in a world, and there's a lot of responsibilities and situations. But I want to tell you that the easy thing is put God first in everything. Hallelujah. Go ahead and handle things that need to be handled. Even Jesus said at times, you get the ox in the ditch on Sunday morning, and you have to get him out of the ditch. You miss church. Now, you don't fall into a habit and make that an excuse. Hallelujah. If you can't get him out of the ditch, well, fill in the ditch. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. But here's a story. And here's these folks that nobody is ready to go to supper. And at this point, the attitude of the master changes. Up to this point, the invitation is for a select few people. And that's the way it started, wasn't it, in the Old Testament? It was with a select, small group of people compared to the people that were in the world. Hallelujah. And so they had to make a decision. Hallelujah. The selection was just few, and yet there was a refusal there. And because of their refusal, the master said, well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go beyond this nice, sweet, prepared, carefully prepared invitation to a bunch of very, very special people. And I'm going to go beyond the invitation. I'm going to open the door. And he told his servants, I want you to go quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. I'm not looking for a select few. I'm not looking for people that's got every button just right and they got a tie on and it seems like everything is going good for them. I'm not going to require some of the things that maybe some of the world requires or some of the denominational churches require. Hallelujah. That's what we want around here in this Pentecostal church. We want an offer of salvation. We want to offer an invitation that is for everybody.
Hallelujah. Most of us don't have a real good bloodline. You know, you go all the way back for 100 years or 200 years, and you can tell this story, and you're so important. And hello, well, I'll tell you one thing. You'll have to get some of that knocked out of you to get in this church. Hallelujah. Just go ahead and come back down on ground level, and let's have church, and let's love Jesus, and let's live for God, and let's go to heaven. Let's put Jesus first in our life above everything else. Hallelujah. I want you to go into the streets. I want you to go into the lanes of the city. I want you to find the poor and the maimed and those that are halt and those that are blind. Hallelujah. We're willing to pick up a handicap to help people. It don't have to have somebody, you know, some people, they're always looking for somebody that's going to give them a return if they join the church. I'm going to tell you something. I got over that a long time ago, and I'll look you in the face and tell you, nobody's any more valuable than anybody else. And that goes with the preacher to anybody in this building. We ought to be glad to be in the house of the Lord tonight. We ought to be worshiping God. Hallelujah, that he gave us an invitation. He gave us an opportunity to be saved. Hallelujah. And it doesn't matter your background, your bloodline. It doesn't matter your nationality. It doesn't matter. Hallelujah. We don't believe in separation and just tolerating people. Well, I'm going to tell you, all of us, sometimes people just got to tolerate us. But I want to tell you, we're here to build a church for all nations. And that's the way it's been from the very beginning. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And so he goes into the streets and the lanes of the city. He goes to the poor, the maimed, the halt, the blind. Yes, he does. Hallelujah. Preacher several years ago, I won't tell you where it was at, but it was he showed up. He was a peculiar guy, and he had a large congregation. He'd done things very interesting. And he decided to just take some time and just kind of travel around and go to churches. And he would disguise himself. Now, this is a real story. And he had come in there, and he had sat way in the back somewhere, and he'd just watch everybody. And one thing that he was doing that was the most important thing that he was doing, he was checking them out to see who would accept and who that they would not accept. And I'll tell you what, it was a high-dollar church. And they had a grand when we didn't have nothing to play. Hallelujah. And they had a big old white grand in their church. And they were highfalutin people for Pentecostal people. They had crossed back across the right side of the track a long time before some of you did. Hallelujah. And so he would just watch them. And he went to several churches like that. He was amazed and how people gravitated towards certain people, and other people, you know, they just kind of walked by and just act like they weren't even alive. Why would you or me or any of us so abuse anybody, because they've got some problems, whatever it might be? Hallelujah. I don't see where God, hallelujah, when he came and became flesh and hung there and died, where he chose certain people. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He finally went to one of his best friends, and that was the one with the white piano. And he sat there the whole time and never saw him. And when the service was over, people was leaving. He was sitting over there on the back in the corner, people walking by, nobody speaking. The pastor not even really looked his way. Hallelujah. It finally came to the point that he had to do something because he was about the only person in the building. He just kept sitting there. The pastor was there. And I don't remember the whole story completely, but either he called the pastor's name or the pastor's walked back to just wondering who this bum was. And he revealed himself to him. Hallelujah. I'm glad there's something beyond the invitation. There's something beyond the invitation. Hallelujah. Israel had an advantage. Romans chapter 3
it tells us, it opens with a question, what advantage hath the Jew? And what profit is there there? He goes on to say that there's much profit. Hallelujah. They had an advantage in the Old Testament. And before the outpouring of the Holy Ghost and all of that, they had an advantage. Hallelujah. But they didn't take it. They didn't take advantage of this great opportunity. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 5, the Bible says that Jesus sends out his 12 and commands them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans ye enter not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now here it was where the invitation was being given. Hallelujah. I want you 12 apostles to go out, and I don't want you to have anything for the Gentiles. It's not yet. And I don't want you to have anything for the Samaritans. It is not yet. But I want you to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. God knew what he was doing in all of this. Hallelujah. Paul said in Acts 13 in verse 46, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. He's talking to Israel. He's talking to the Jews. But seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Hallelujah. This was the place in the ministry of the Apostle Paul. There had been some upsets, and there had been some folks that come to realize. Hallelujah. Peter was one that preached to the Gentiles and blew the minds of those that was in Jerusalem. Here, hallelujah, what in the world is this man, hallelujah, doing receiving the Holy Ghost, being baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Hallelujah. But Paul finally becomes so frustrated with this prejudice feeling and separating themselves, as if even after getting the Holy Ghost, they were better than everybody else. Hallelujah. Some of these people that we're dealing with were people that had repented and been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and received the gift of the Holy Ghost. And yet they were still prejudiced. And Paul fought it and he wrestled with it until he was tired of it. And he said, from now on, I'm going to the Gentiles. Hallelujah. The invitation to this great supper was first only to Israel. But they were so impressed, and they were so busy with their religious rituals and their programs. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ had basically cursed it. Hallelujah. The way that they acted. Hallelujah. And so, hallelujah, there came a time that a gate opened. The invitation that was spoken of at the supper. Hallelujah. The invitation was being, hallelujah, blown open. And they found themselves in a place beyond the invitation. Jesus said, I want you to go. First of all, he said, I want you to go to the streets and the lanes of the city. Bring hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done. It didn't take long. Hallelujah, for a bunch of people to come. Lord, it is done as thou commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges. Hallelujah, not just people on the street corners, but go, hallelujah, in the back areas. And hallelujah, in the places with filth and darkness and sin, and no doubt all kinds of things happening. I want you to go into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. I want you to compel them to come in. I want to tell you, that's a strong word. I looked it up in the dictionary today. Hallelujah. The word compelled means to force, to oblige someone to do something, to constrain, to drive, to pass. Hallelujah. It's beyond just an invitation. It's just beyond being kind and a little soft of speaking, and especially with people that we know, and we know their past, and we know the dangerous situation that they're in. Maybe we also feel the burden and the passion. We know what we need to do and where we need to go. Hallelujah. There comes a time that they don't need just an ordinary invitation. Man, you ought to come out to revival. We're going to be having revival Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, you know.
milk, man, you sure enjoy it. Hallelujah. That may be the way of doing it at some times, but I want to tell you, we're living in a day when the sun is setting. We're living in a day that it's later than it's ever been before. You don't have to be smart to figure that out. Jesus is coming back. And we're going to have our last moments of turning the light on in our life and giving them more than just an invitation, where they can feel the passion of our heart, where they can see the tears that might come in our eyes as the Holy Ghost begins to deal with them and talk to them. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. There was a day in America that you could put an announcement in a little newspaper and fill a church up with a revival. I said, I am old enough to remember a time when if you really wanted to produce or to see a revival come to pass, you go down and you put an announcement in the little newspaper. And people would come. And people would get the Holy Ghost. But I want to tell you today, there's so many voices clamoring to be heard. There's so much music. Hallelujah. There's so much noise, background noise. There's so many things happening. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You can get a call from somebody. That happened just yesterday, I think it was. Hallelujah, got a call from somebody. I took the call. Hallelujah, they told me I needed, you know, it was. I forget what it was. I was fixing to do something, get something. Hallelujah, and so I hang up and head up the stairs, and before I get to the top of the stairs to get what I was supposed to get, the phone rang again, or it went on a text. I don't remember, and all of a sudden it was something else urgent, and then by the time I got through there was another one waiting on me, and that's the way it is. We've got so much, and the internet and people that are just addicted, they're just forever connected with people around them. Hallelujah. People infringing on our time and the moments that God gives us to do something that is fruitful and worthwhile. Is anybody listening to me? I think this message right here, this part of it, is probably just a dead horse in the water somewhere. Because it seems to never change. It's getting worse and worse and worse and worse and worse, and everywhere you look. We better find some quiet time somewhere. We better find some silent time somewhere. We better find a time to find somebody and talk to them about their soul. Hallelujah. In the religious world, there's so much clamoring. There's so much deception. And it's just unbelievable. Entertainers, con men. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah, people that they don't go to a church where a preacher stands in a pulpit physically and preaches. They go to these big, huge places where there's a man on the screen that has no contact with the people sitting in that great big auditorium. Never a physical touch. Hallelujah. Drink coffee and laugh or listen to the preacher, whatever you want to do. It's just entertainment. A little bit of rock music and entertainment. Coming and going, doing what you want to do. Nobody's really connected to the people around them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our world is unimpressed, many of them, by just an invitation. It just don't work like it used to work. Going and knocking doors don't work like it used to work. Now, I want to tell you, God can use it. But I want to tell you, you know, it's just sometimes you realize that there's been a shift in things. And most people don't want anybody knocking on their door unless it's something that they think is important. Is that right? Yes. Hallelujah. That's right. And so there's some things that, you know, it's got to be more than just an invitation. Hallelujah. The master commanded, I want you to go into the highways and the hedges, and I want you to compel. I want you to force. Now, I don't know where to draw the line there. Hallelujah. How do you draw the line? I believe the Holy Ghost has to give us some wisdom. Everybody's different. And I believe when God gets in the middle of us reaching for souls, God can help us to have the wisdom we need to have. hallelujah, compel them. I just know this. It's more than just the invitation that was given at the beginning of the story. It's more than that. It's more than just brushing shoulders with somebody. Now, you know what? I still do that. Hallelujah. I go to a drive-in, hallelujah, and order my food and go there to pay it, and I stick a card out there. And I will say this, hallelujah, these young kids, it seems like they're more tender than the older people are. Hallelujah. You can see kind of want to. I don't really know what this is all about. But you know, I've had them say, well, you know, I've been thinking about coming to church. Hallelujah. But we can't leave it at that. Hallelujah. One thing to try to do is to pray, and another thing is to try to get an address or some way to contact someone when you get a few moments to speak to them and you feel a connection. Oh, God, help us. Help us, oh, God. And sometimes, you take, just recently, I took an individual in and taking them every day to pray and taking them every day talking to them, buying them meals and a few tears there. Hallelujah. And they just don't make the journey. Hallelujah. They don't make the journey. We got to keep on. We got to keep on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why the increase of urgency? Hallelujah. Because the Lord wants his house full. God wants us to fill this building up, and God wants us to give us another building, wherever it is around here, that's big enough to house some more people. Hallelujah. I believe it with all of my heart. I believe that we have a church that wants to see the house of God filled. I really do. On a Thursday night, you're here tonight. Hallelujah. Not as many as I'd like to be here. But you know what? Some of you must have drug in. You look better right now than you've looked the whole time. Hallelujah. You finally got to church. Praise God. Hallelujah. In the balcony. Hallelujah. You couldn't be mad at me smiling like this. Hallelujah. 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 The house needs to be full. Hallelujah. We want to see everybody in this city saved. We don't want to cut any corners and say, well, you know, it's a special group. I purposed a long time in my heart. I'm not going to have specials. It's just going to be everybody. We're all human. We're all worth more than all the riches of the world. Everything. Hallelujah. I've been praying for a couple little ladies in a care home. Almost every day, praying with them, talking to them. Hallelujah. One of them cannot even talk until we start singing a hymn, and she starts singing the hymn with us. Oh, God, she's worth all the riches of the world. She's worth all the riches of the world. Both of them are worth more than anything I can ever describe. I get on my knees and pray for them and say, God, how can some way or another we can make a connection that seems to be so impossible to make? Hallelujah. They're headed to eternity. They're gonna live in eternity somewhere forever and ever and ever and ever. Why? What can we do to bridge the gap that's been lost because of time and sickness and the mind? Hallelujah. We need to try. We need to reach. We need to pray. Hallelujah. If we're going to fill the house up, we've got to get beyond the ordinary invitation. I'm going to quickly point out some things that will help us accomplish what I'm trying to give you tonight. Hallelujah. If we're going to get the job done, first of all, we can't afford to become discouraged about those who refuse the invitation. We need to be ready to take it on the chin. We need to be ready not to get upset when somebody is harsh or they're rude to us. It's worth it to just keep plowing on and to be sweet and to pray for that individual. Jesus knew the feeling of rejection. Hallelujah. He prayed in Luke chapter 23 and verse 34 as he hung upon the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Even people that are acquainted with our church and in contact with our church, we need to keep loving people, everybody. We need to keep loving people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Reaching for them, going beyond the invitation.
Hallelujah. I've heard the saying, you know, they know where the church is at. They can come if they want to come. There may be times that because of situations that you're waiting for the door to open up. But there's many times that we don't need to say that. Well, you know, they know where the church is at. Hallelujah. We need to be ready. We need to be ready for somebody to say things about us. Hallelujah. Maybe it means that we're getting something done. We're causing something to happen at least. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We need to offer ourselves like Jesus offered himself. Well, he was the Son of God. Well, how about Stephen? He laid there and they threw the rocks and they stoned him to death. But as he lay there and saw visions of heaven, he prayed a prayer and said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know. Father, forgive them. That's the spirit of evangelism we've got to have. If we take some knocks and we take some injuries, I want to tell you, the devil is here. He's out to destroy. He's out to undermine. He's out to, hallelujah, to intimidate us. That's right. Hallelujah. We can't afford to be offended. Galatians 6 and 9, and let not us be weary. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due seasons we shall reap if we faint not. Let us not be weary in well-doing. How many knows what it is to get weary? Hallelujah. You find yourself doing something that you almost feel like it's just a toss-up between, you know, is this really worth anything to me doing what I'm doing? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We can't afford to be selective. This church is not for just a select few. Not just us four and no more. Hallelujah. God save him. Hallelujah. Some of the most unlikely people. Yes, he is. Hallelujah. He's saving people that remain halting. Hallelujah. We got a little fellow over outside of San Francisco. I preached a few times their service there. They have a conference. And there's a little creature that comes, I don't know how he makes it down the wall, down the aisle there. It just kind of shakes you, and it's just unbelievable. He has no hands and he has no feet. And it's just almost unbelievable how he tries to move. It's a struggle, but he can come all the way down the aisle, and he's got enough left here, and he has hardly any body, and he pulls himself up, and he turns himself around, and a lot of times he's the first one to come out of the pew and fall to the floor to worship God. Hallelujah. There's a lot of people, that would bother them to have that in their church. Hallelujah. Something that's not appealing. Something that is kind of hard to... I don't want us to be selective. Don't ever be selective toward people that's different than you. Please. Hallelujah. We have people come in here, they don't know what they got yet when they get the Holy Ghost. They got Jesus Christ in them, and they know it. They feel better than they've ever felt in all their life. But they don't really understand what all they've got. Hallelujah. We need to spend time with them. Everybody's different too. It seems like some people that quick can just they understand. Hallelujah. And there's other people, it may take months and months and months and maybe years. Hallelujah. And God works on them. He carefully works on them. Hallelujah. Like a potter makes a vessel. And he creates them in the image that he wants them to be in. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 12. They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what this meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. God can't help some people because they're too good. But it's not the goodness that's good enough. Hallelujah. It's a goodness that they have developed. and by discipline, and just there was just something about their makeup, and they try to live as good as they can live. But I want to tell you, we can't live good enough to go to heaven. None of us can live good enough to go to heaven. We need a lot of mercy. We need a lot of grace. We need a lot of blood. We need a lot of forgiveness. We need a lot of kindness. We need to be revived when we run out of gas and it just feels like we're 1,000 miles away from God. We're not away from God. He's there with us. He said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. I'll go with you even to the end of the world. And so we can't afford to become discouraged and refuse to reach for people. We can't afford to be selective. Hallelujah. We must be persistent. We must compel them to come in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We want to do whatever we can do to compel them. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ fed, hallelujah, 5,000 men, not counting the women and the children, with a few loaves and a few fish. Hallelujah. But he was persistent. Hallelujah. And he wanted to compel them in the midst of their eating to hear what he had to say. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We can't afford to allow ourselves to become offended. Hallelujah. We can't get offended. We got some folks here tonight that wrestle offenses. All of us to a degree fights being offended. You better not do that. You better not take that into your spirit. It don't matter what anybody's done. You don't need to talk it. I want to tell you, there's a lot of talk going on in places when we ought to be trying to compel somebody to come in. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, if you hear something of somebody or you see something, you have no right to go tell anybody unless it be your mama, your daddy, or your preacher. You have sinned. I don't know whether what you tell is true or not. A lot of times it's nothing but a lie. That's right. Sometimes it's motivated by jealousy. Sometimes that happens with young people. They feel insecure, and so they want to destroy somebody. My God, there ain't enough words for me to tell you what you're planting in your life, in the garden of your life, when you do something so unspeakably wicked as tell something bad on somebody. One of the things that God hates is a lying tongue. Hallelujah. Why don't we use it to testify the good things of the Lord? God will take care of what's going on, or I will. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost is in this church. Hallelujah. He's the shepherd. He's the great shepherd of this congregation. And so we ought to be about winning souls. Hallelujah. We ought to be about winning souls. Hallelujah. So we can't afford to become discouraged. We can't afford to be selective. We can't afford to be passive. We must be persistent. Hallelujah. Compelling them to come in. And lastly, we need to help them get in. We need to help them get in the door. How long has it been since some of you's brought anybody to church? How many people are not able to get here unless somebody helps them? If we don't have this compelling attitude to reach people. Hallelujah. There's people that are hobbling. There's people that are crippled. There's people that can't get through the door by themselves. I had people this week say, well, I feel like being a, what do you call it, you know, just, you know, a weight. We want to be a church that'll help you. We want to help you. We want you to make the trip. Hallelujah. Bring in the hither, the poor, the maimed, the halt, the blind. We're living in a crippled world, oppressed world, a depressed world, bound by sin. So can you imagine the confusion of these children that are being raised and some stupid movie star takes her children and dresses them as a boy one day and a girl the next day so they can be comfortable in any, my God, you talk about looking hell in the face. Mark 2 and verse 3. And they came and brought unto him, or they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born to four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. Needed somebody to help them get to church. And lastly, if we're going to compel people, we need to act now. We need to go quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city. John 4 and 35, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Let's stand. We have experienced, right here connected with this church, some of you don't know they're connected, but they're connected to me, and maybe two or three other people. But we've had some deaths recently. We've had some deaths recently. Some way or another, even with tears from some of these folks facing eternity. Even though they prayed fervently, and you would hear them cry out, and there was terror. I've questioned myself, God, did I start too late? Did I compel enough? You look at somebody laying there and you wonder, how can we get them into a baptistry? And you pray for miracles. You pray, God, give us a miracle, God. God, bring this individual home. And God has done that in the past. Yes. I want to go beyond just a little gentle nudge. If it's in a position where it really might count, I want to get people's attention. That's right. I want to compel them. Compel them. Hallelujah. God, in Jesus' name. Jesus. Oh, God, I feel something bigger in my heart than what I've been able to say with my lips. But, oh, God, help us, Lord. Anoint our eyes with eye salve that we might see God. Oh, God, the terrifying things around us, God. The wickedness. Oh God. Being on the edge of a world war. Things in our life changing overnight could happen. God, help us to give the invitation that is more than just a gentle request. In Jesus' name, lead us to those that are closest to eternity. Help me pray. Would you do that? God, help us, Lord. We're your people. We're the sheep of your pasture. Lord, we are so weak within ourselves. So often, sometimes we lose our sight. We are distracted in areas, Lord, that are not eternally important. Oh, Jesus, help us tonight. Let a burden settle over this whole congregation tonight. Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's join together in unity tonight. Lord, help us, God. God, help me, Lord. I desperately need help, God. I desperately need help, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, you said if we cried unto the Lord, you'd hear us. Let a cry be offered up from the First Pentecostal Church of Buford. Let a cry be offered up. Jesus! 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 Oh, Riorobo Horia Santa Yalaba, Kianda Yalaba. Let the spirit of what I've tried to talk about tonight fill every square inch of this building tonight, Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus, come on, reach out and grab hold of it tonight. Reach out and grab hold of it tonight. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Have you spent your day today? Have you spent your time this afternoon? Oh, my God, my God, my God, my God, my God, my God. Come on, let's press the point. Come on, let there be a compelling spirit get a hold of people. There's people here tonight that need the Holy Ghost, desperately need the Holy Ghost. In the name of the Lord, 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 in the name of the Lord. Oh, Shandoria Rabohoki Andayarabahaya. Come on, let the rafters ring tonight. Come on, cry out to God tonight. Oh, God, God, we've not been faithful, God. I haven't had my mind on you as much as I need to, God. Oh, God, help us to compel the lost, the perishing, the dying. Oh, Riyarabaha Sandayalabaki Andayalabaya. Oh, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Come on, push. Come on, push. Come on, let it be birthed in your spirit. That's where it's got to start, not with the sinner, but with us. Oh, it's got to start with us. It's got to start with us. It's got to start with us. Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Oh, Alabaha Santa Yalabaki Anda Yalabaya. Oh, Holy Ghost, have mercy on me, God. Have mercy on me, God. Have mercy on me, God. Oh, God. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, a little longer. Come on, a little longer. Oh, Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord, 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 in the name of the Lord. Oh, Jesus, God, forgive us, Lord. Forgive us, God. Forgive us, God. You
our tongues to witness. Use our tongues, Lord God, to touch the heart of somebody that don't know the way, God. Oh, Lord, surround us, God, with your spirit and your power, Lord. Oh, go with us, Lord. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Oh, la 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 la. Oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God. Oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God. Oh God, help us, Lord. Please help me, God. I'm dissatisfied, oh God. I am dissatisfied, oh God. You have so much more for us, God. You have so much more for us, God. Oh, you have so much more for us, God. Forgive me, God. Forgive me, God. Oh, forgive me, God. Help me, Jesus. Oh, forgive me, God.